Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter number 2. Head to Judges chapter number 2 this morning. Pastor Hanks, as you've noticed, is not here. He's on vacation this week, and I apologize for being a cheap substitute. If you came hoping for Pastor Hanks, and we've got some visitors in here today, maybe they came in hoping to hear Pastor Hanks, you get the substitute teacher. I'm sorry. And it's not the same. It's not even close. So I apologize for that. We do love our pastor, and good news, he will be back on Wednesday, so we'll have a chance to hear Pastor Hanks here. Coming up in just a few days. So bear with us these last couple services. Judges chapter number 2 this morning. Judges chapter number 2. We're going to start reading down in verse number 11. Judges chapter number 2, verse number 11. We're going to read from verse 11 down to verse 19 this morning. Judges chapter 2, verse 11 through 19. And I'll read the first verse. If you all could come in on the even verses and read with me as we read through this passage here. Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. As we read, pay attention to what we're reading here. This is the overview for the entire book of Judges. This is the summary of the book of Judges right here in these verses. So Judges 2, 11 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I do pray that you meet with us this morning. I pray, Father, that you be with me. I pray, Father, that you give us direction, Lord, this morning. I pray, Father, that you help us to focus on you, focus on your word. Lord, I pray that you help us to think about our lives, examine ourselves, Lord, and see where this applies to us. Lord, I pray that you help us to learn from the pattern we're going to see here in the book of Judges. And I pray, Father, that you help us to Lord, not make the same mistakes that these people did. And I pray, Father, that you just teach us this morning. Lord, I pray that you be with our pastor and his family, other church family that are away right now on vacation. I pray, Father, that you give them a relaxing time. I pray, Father, that you bless them and the different church services that they're in. But, Father, today we ask that you meet with us. Lord, I pray that you give me what I need this morning. I pray, Father, that you help us not to be distracted by the different things that have been going on throughout this week. Lord, the different things that are going on this weekend, today and tomorrow, please help us to focus on you. Let's help us to focus on your word. And I pray, Father, for this in your son's name. Amen. In the book of Judges here, we have the term we're going to use. It's not found in the book of Judges, but the term is going to be apostasy. Apostasy. The word apostasy, what it means is the word apostasy, if you look at that word, we're going to take it back to the Greek. The A in apostasy means not. Okay, so we use the word amusement, like an amusement park. Muse means to think, awe means not. So amusement means to not think. And so an amusement park, a place I can go and not think. We use the term atheist. Theo meaning God, awe meaning not. So an atheist is one who says there is not God or they don't believe in God. We use different terms where we have this word awe in front of it. Now, apostate, and I remember as a kid coming to church and hearing apostate, and in my mind I thought apostate and apostle. Apostle, apostate, they're pretty similar. Peter was an apostle, apostate. It must be a good thing, apostate, apostle. I mean, they're really, really close, but really they're opposites entirely. Apostle is one who's sent out. He's sent out because awe also means out. So it's one who's sent out, apostle, one who's sent out to deliver the message. An apostate's one who's gone out. But that center word there, post, the same post from apostle, the same post in apostate. Post means like a post in the ground. It's something that's stable, firm, it's planted, it's a post. So an apostate is one that isn't standing firm. If we're going to break it down, it's one that doesn't stand firm. So an apostate's one that was here, but that post has moved over. It's moved over a little bit more. Friday night, we were working at the camp in the tabernacle, and we were down in there, and I was talking to Brother Kyle over here a little bit before the morning service, and we had cut through the concrete in the floor, and I remember back when I was like in high school, we poured the footings around that building, and if you remember the history of that building, it was over there on 23rd Street. We tore it down, we brought it out to the camp, and then we put it up, and at first it just had the gravel floor in there for years that we had, but we had that concrete footing all the way around, and that concrete footing's like, you know, that thick, that wide, and it's like 3 feet deep at least. I mean, we didn't care how deep it was. We just dug down as deep as the tractors would dig. So it's super deep. It's about that wide. Well, also, in the digging it out, it also got a little bit wider in some places. And right where our bathroom was laid out, right where that pipe went through, just happens that just below the surface of the dirt, once we got down in there, it was this wide on top. As you got lower, it ended up being like 2 feet wide, solid concrete. And then in that concrete, there's rebar, these big chunks of metal running through there and stuff. And we're trying to break this concrete out. And David Smith and I are on it. We've got like these saws. We're cutting it. We're hitting it with sledgehammers. We're beating on it and beating on it. And it's very discouraging when you beat on concrete for like 30 minutes and there's like a little bit of dust that broke off and that's it. It's like, oh, this is going to take forever. And when you know you've got to go like 14 inches down and you're beating and beating and beating and like two rocks fall off. Like, oh, this is going to take forever. And it was tough. It was posted, okay? So the apostate's the opposite of that. Those footings, that building, I mean, you hear on the National Weather Service thing, you know, if there's a tornado that comes through, get in a ditch. No, lay beside that footing. You're not going anywhere. I mean, that footing is in the ground. I mean, just put a chain on that. You're safe. You know, a huge hurricane, you know, EF5 can come through, and that chunk, atomic bomb drops, you're fine. That thing is, that concrete, it's a bunker. That stuff is thick. After beating on it, shoo, that was tough. That stuff was posted. That stuff was locked in. And apostate's the opposite of that. And apostate's something that's not locked in. Earlier this week, I was working, we've got a deck in front of our house, and I had some college guys help me set the deck, and we dug some posts out. And as you get further away from the house, they had set some posts, and at first, the deck looked really good, but in the last couple years, it's kind of started to lean a little bit, and so the front of my deck, I went out and put a level on it, and the front of the deck was about an inch and a half lower than the side of the deck, which isn't good in only a 12-foot deck that it's an inch and a half down. It's great for rainwater, just runs off, but it was bad, and I got in there, and I pulled up on those posts, and those posts just pulled right out. I mean, these 4x4 posts are supposed to be concreted in the ground and pulled on them, and they pop right up out of the ground. And what they had done is they had dug down, and I was with them too, so part of it's on me. And we had dug down and set those posts and put concrete around them, but there was nothing underneath it. And that post had just slid up and down, and it just pulled right out of the concrete. There was nothing holding it. Those posts were apostate posts, okay? They weren't firm. They had been set in one place, but as time had gone by, they had shifted. And because they had shifted, the whole deck had shifted. Now, in the book of Judges, we're going to see this. We call this the cycle of apostasy. 7 times in the book of Judges, we're going to see this apostasy. It's going to happen 7 times in the book of Judges. And we're going to see this falling away or this moving apart, this not staying firm. In fact, turn one page over with me, chapter number 3. We'll look at the first judge, and it's pretty obvious as we look at this first judge as far as how apostasy works out. Judges chapter 3, verse number 5 says this, "And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord God and served Balaam in the groves." Now understand what's happened here. This same children of Israel, these are the people that just came out of Egypt. They just took the promised land. Joshua was just with them. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Back in Judges chapter 1, we see, and Joshua died. And the elders that outlived Joshua, they died. And there rose another generation which knew not the Lord. That's these guys. This isn't that far from getting into the promised land. I mean, we're one generation into the promised land, 50 years, 60 years into the promised land, not very long at all. And this new generation comes in. And see what happened here. We see why there's apostasy happening. It says they dwelt among the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites. They're with these people that were, in our day and age, we call these worldly people. They were among them. They weren't just obviously in the world, but not of the world. They were among them. They were with them. They were yoked together with them. In fact, they began to take from them and give to them. They took their daughters and they gave their daughters to their sons. They began to give and take, and they began to look like and act like the people they were around, all the way to the point where they began to serve their gods. And the people that the Canaanites served were the people that the children of Israel began to serve. And here's what happened. They began to say, you know what, God? We know what's right, because they did. They had the Ten Commandments. They knew what was right. They knew what happened if you disobeyed God. They had heard the stories. These guys, some of these guys, they weren't that far removed from the Red Sea being parted. They weren't that far removed from the Jordan River parting, the walls of Jericho falling down. We're not that far removed from this. They knew who God was. They knew what God had done. It wasn't that they didn't know the truth. They knew the truth, and they just didn't care. They said, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to, in fact, the end verses that we read, when we were reading together there, it said they departed not from their, or they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. So we're going to do what we want to do, and you can't stop us. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do my own thing. And if we're not careful, today as Christians, we get in that same, we start into the same cycle of apostasy where we get to this point where we say, God, I'm going to do what I want. God, I'm going to do what I want to do. Zach, can you come help me real quick? I'm going to use a couple people here. We're going to represent the cycle of apostasy. I want you to think with me about a clock, all right? And so we're going to make a clock up here on the platform. Zach, if you'd stand right here in front of the pulpit. Zach, you're going to be 12 o'clock on our clock. I need you to look up kind of toward the ceiling and shake your fist at the ceiling just a little bit, angry, because you're not going to listen to anybody else. You're the stubborn way. Zach's where most of us get. We know the truth. It's not that we don't know, though. Keep doing it. You're angry. You don't never stop being angry. It's not that we don't know the truth. God gave us his word. We know what we're supposed to do. It's not a matter of us not knowing what's right and what's wrong. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. But what we do is we say, God, no. I'm going to do it my way. Christian idolatry, pastors preached this before, Christian idolatry is us saying, I won't do that to God. Christian idolatry is us saying, I want what I want. It's covetousness, which is idolatry. Stubbornness, which is idolatry. And also, I will do. God, I know you don't want, but I'm going to do it anyway. I will do. So I won't, I will, and I want. That's our Christian idolatry today, serving other gods. Now, we don't serve Baal and Astaroth, at least I hope we don't serve Baal and Astaroth and all these false gods that he mentions here. But what we do serve is I serve me, what I want to do, what's best for me. What I do serve is other people and what they're going to think about me. That's what I serve today. We don't serve these false gods. We serve these things. Sometimes we chase that almighty dollar, the money. Oh, I need to do this because I need the money in this, and I've got to work this way, and I've got to do this thing because who are we serving? Oh, we've decided to serve money. I've got to have this job. I've got to do this thing. And what we're doing is, just like Zach here, we're saying, God, I know what's right. God, I know what's wrong. But I don't care. I'll be stubborn. I'm going to be unflexible, and God, I'm going to do my own thing. Now, that's sin. I think we understand that that's sin. But, and most of us understand when we sin. We say, okay, yeah, I know that's a sin, but it's not that big of a sin. Just a little, and you know what? When the children of Israel first started out, was it really that big of a deal that they didn't destroy all the Canaanites? That they didn't destroy all the Jebusites? Was it that big of a deal? You know what? It was that big of a deal because they were among them. Was it really that big of a deal that maybe they took some of their daughters to marry some of their sons? I mean, these weren't bad girls. Maybe they gave some of their daughters to their sons. They weren't bad boys, remember? Wasn't that big? But then they started serving the false gods. Now, for us today, here's what happens. We like to justify our sins. We say, well, it's not that bad of a TV show. I mean, yeah, it's not good, but it's not that bad. There's just a few parts in that movie that aren't good. I'll just skip through those. That song's not that bad. That group's not that bad. And we start making excuses and we start justifying what we know is wrong, but I justify it. And it's not long before I say, God, I'm going to do my own thing. Who do you think you are? Pastor preaching about my TV show. Who do you think you are telling me that what I'm doing is wrong here? Hey, it's Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow, countless people across this country are going to be at lakes and different places. And somehow Memorial Day has also come to mean get drunk holiday. I mean, they've gone hand in hand. I mean, beer's on sale at every grocery store and Walmart and everywhere else. Why? Because we've associated these things together. And as Christians, we say, well, you know, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to drink at these parties and stuff like that, but I'll go to that party and I'll be among those people. And the problem is the children are the ones that suffer, because the children of these guys were the ones that were among them. They married into those families and then they started serving the false gods. See, Joshua and the elders, they didn't. They served the Lord all the days of those guys. When they were gone, hey, they were used to going to the parties. They were used to being around these people. This would happen. That's, if we're not careful, that's what's going to happen to us too. We say, well, hey, I know this show is wrong. I know this music isn't right, but it's just a couple songs. I know that there are parts on this that I probably shouldn't be singing, but it's not that big of a deal. The problem is that the children that are with us, that see us watching these things, they think it's acceptable. And they end up here. Now, here's the problem with here. The next step in this whole progression moves on. He mentioned it back in Judges chapter 2, but we'll look at it in Judges chapter 3 here. And again, we can go through. This cycle takes place again 7 times. So this time where they serve false gods, it happened here in chapter 3, verse 7. It also happens in chapter 3, right down in verse number 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. If you follow down to chapter number 4, verse number 1, and the children of evil again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you follow over to chapter 6, verse number 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we can follow this through all the way up to chapter number 10, verse number 6. For sake of time, we won't go through all of them, but it happens 7 times here. 10, verse number 6, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Baal and Astaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon. Again, 7 times in one book, we're going to see this cycle. They said, God, we're going to do what we want to do. They knew better. They knew what had happened. And the honest truth is, so do we. You know better. I know better. But we said, God, no. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, here's what happens. It says, verse number 8 of chapter 3, therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Step 2 in the cycle of apostasy. If this is 12 o'clock, our next time on the clock, Brian, can you come help me? You're going to be right here on this step for me. I need you to stand right there and I need you to look sad. A little more down. No, there, but your head down more. Sadder. I mean, your brother just got like a bunch of candy and you got nothing. That's look. That's what we want. Hey, you know what? The next step in this whole cycle, if we sin, the Bible is very clear, God cannot just let sin go. He's God, that's his very nature. Sin's going to be punished. The anger of the Lord was hot against them. Does it ever feel like, boy, God's just against me? You know, sometimes he is. The Bible says God was against them. You know why? Because of the sin. They said, hey, I will do what I want to do. I said, you can. But this punishment's coming. Punishment's going to happen. And growing up, there were a lot of times growing up in our house where I would do what I wanted to do. That was fine. I could do what I wanted. But there were always consequences for doing what I wanted to do. Hey, guess what? You can drive as fast as you want on I-70. No one can stop you. You want to go 150 miles an hour? Go 150 miles an hour. That's fine. There are consequences that are going to come with that. And we understand that in life. Well, hey, biblically, there's consequences that come too. And therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against them. And this payday came. Now, here's the lie the devil likes to tell us. The lie the devil likes to tell us, and the same thing he told Eve in the garden. Remember when she was going to eat the fruit and the devil said, ye shall not surely die? You're not going to get punished for that. you can get away with that. It's not that big of a deal. You can skate by on this one. And the lie the devil tells us is that, hey, you can sin and there won't be any consequences. And unfortunately, sometimes the book of Ecclesiastes talks about this, because judgment sometimes isn't executed speedily. Sometimes it doesn't happen like immediately. We think we get away with it. It doesn't work. Thursday morning, I was at the hardware store, and there was a girl at the hardware store, and I went in to get some stuff, and she was the only cashier, and she was just crying and crying and crying and crying. I mean, it was weird. I kind of go on. I thought maybe, you know, a friend of hers had died. Maybe she had gotten some bad news. Maybe something happened. And this fellow had come in, and he was kind of back behind. He was talking to her and stuff, and he kind of gave her a hug. And she was kind of crying. I'm like, boy, this is a big deal. This poor kid. I mean, what's going on? She wasn't very old. I mean, maybe 20, late teens, probably late teens. She wasn't very old. So she's just bawling away. She comes to check out, and I'm waiting to check out. So she comes over, so she's checking out, and the conversation between her and the older fellow is still going on. And the man said, look, you've been driving for years now. I'm like, I know. And he's like, and you've been speeding for years now. I know. And it was bound to get caught sometime. I know, but I just can't afford a ticket right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you know what? The honest truth is, hey, if I'm going to do my own thing, eventually there's going to be a consequence. And I can speed, but eventually I'm going to get busted. It's going to happen. Okay? And I can sin, but eventually, therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. And that happens to me. And that happens to you. And we think these things aren't that big of a deal. Oh, it's just this little sin. Oh, it's just this little thing. But to God, it's not just this little thing. To God, it's a big deal. And God says, therefore, the anger of the Lord is kindled against him. And the devil likes to tell us, surely you can do that. You don't have to pay. But payday comes. Payday always comes. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But we like to think that I can get away with it. Everyone thinks they'll be the exception. I know everybody else got busted, but I'm not going to. Really? Really? I mean, that's like, everyone thinks that. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm guilty of it. I'm driving down the road. I see somebody else get pulled over. I'm like, whew. Well, that means I can go as fast as I want for a little bit because they're busy. It doesn't work that way, does it? We know you're going to get busted too. It's going to happen. And get away with it for a little bit. Can't get away with it forever. And the same thing's true with sin. We think we can get away with it, but payday always comes. Now he tells us this. The cycle doesn't end here. This is at the 3 o'clock time here. It says, hey, sin must be punished. And again, he goes through and he's going to punish him here, right across the page, chapter 3, verse number 12. It says, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. We're going to see that he's going to sell them in chapter 4, verse number 2. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Hazrath of the Gentiles. Why? Well, it's because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. We're going to see this cycle again, over and over and over again in the book of Judges. They sinned, God judged them. And in my life, I see this cycle over and over and over again. I sin, God judge me. And in your life, if you're honest and you think about it, you're going to see the same pattern too. You sin, God judged you. But in all the cases, we're going to see the same thing's going to happen again. The Bible tells us this down in verse number 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel. Chapter number 4, down in verse number 3. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 15, I missed this one. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera. We're going to see this process again, that they're going to ask God, God, please forgive me. God, please forgive me. Daniel, can you come help me out real quick? We need you right down here. I need you to get down on your knees and pray for me. There you go. Good. This is our process. So I sin. I'm going to do my own thing. God says, no, you're not. No, 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 no. Sin must be punished. I get punished. And it's more than I can bear. And if we go through this, you're going to see that sometimes it was 8 years, sometimes it was 20 years, 18 years in another instance. When God finally punished them with the Babylonian captivity, that was 70 years that some of these punishments lasted. They sinned. God said, no. Punishment came. And then they were crying out to God, God, please forgive me. God, please, why are you doing this to me? God, why? They knew why. And honestly, in our lives, a lot of times, we know the why that this is happening. We don't like it, but we know it. We're at the 6 o'clock and say, God, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. Now, the great thing about our God, his mercies are new every morning. The great thing about our God is, unlike humans who, after a while, we say, oh, you've hurt me too many times, I'm done, no more forgiveness. With our God, I can sin, God will punish me, and I can ask for forgiveness until 7 times, Peter asked? No, until 70 times 7. It's an infinite number that God will forgive us if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say if we confess our sin 3 times or 7 times. He's not a genie in the bottle. You get 3 sins and you're out. It doesn't work that way. I can sin and God will forgive me. Punishment always happens. And there was some time locked up in these guys here. You add up all those different times, there was quite a bit of time locked up in punishment. But every time they asked for forgiveness, God forgave them. And then the next one here, our 9 o'clock session. The Bible tells us down in verse number 11, chapter 3, verse 11, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Down in verse number 30 of chapter number 3. So Moab was subdued that day in the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years, so 80 years of rest. If we jump to chapter number 5, verse number 31, the very end of that verse says, and the land had rest 40 years. And again, we're going to see this process over and over and over again with these judges. The land's going to have rest. They're going to have peace. It's going to be, they're going to have some rest in there. David, can you come help me real quick? You'll be our last guy. I need you on this step over here. You can just have a seat. Sir, you may. Yeah, we'll switch them out. Yeah, if you just sit down and kind of just lay on your hands a little bit for me. There you go. Now, here's what happens. I sin. God, you can't stop me. I'm going to do my own thing. We can. But punishment comes. Then I say, God, please forgive me. And then God gives us rest. Now, this word rest means peace. But unfortunately, when things get peaceful, we also tend to get lulled into a false sense of security. We get sleepy. It says rest. And we've even used that term today. We say, oh, I need to go and rest. But by rest, you mean sleep. And there's a difference between resting, which is to be at peace, and to sleep, which means to be, you know, dead to the world. And unfortunately, where a lot of us Christians are today is we're here and we're dead to the world. Paul said this, awake to righteousness and sin not. We've fallen asleep. We're not here yet. God, I'm going to do what I want to do. But we're really close because we're oblivious to what's going on around us. We're asleep. We're asleep at the wheel. This is what goes on. God's forgiven us. We've got peace. Oh, things are good. Oh, I think I'm going to rest for a little bit. Really? And as I get lulled into this false sense of security, this false sense of, oh, I've got this figured out. I think I'm going to stand. I think I'm okay. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And it's very easy to go from the 9 o'clock to the 12 o'clock and be in the, I'm going to do this and bless God. You know, what's God going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're not the boss of me. You're not the judge of me. I can do what I want. But see, 3 o'clock's coming. I'm going to have to pay for what I've done. Now today, I don't know where you are, but you're somewhere on this clock. Maybe you're here. Judgment hasn't come yet, but you're saying, you know what? I can watch what I want. I can go where I want. I can do what I want. And you can't tell me not to. We know better. I mean, we got the rule book. We know what we're supposed to do, but bless God, no. Maybe you're here. maybe you feel like God's against you, or you're going through the punishment right now, and it's tough. You're in those 18 years, those 7 years, 8 years of, maybe you're in this punishment time. It gets tough. It gets real tough in this punishment. And if you're in the punishment, we need to get to this point very quickly. Unfortunately, sometimes I'm here and our stubbornness, our stubborn way keeps me from getting to this. It's up to you how long this lasts. Okay, the punishment, that's up to you. That's up to you. Sometimes it lasted for a handful of years. Sometimes it was 7 years, 70 years. How long you're in here is how long it takes before you say, you know what, God? You win. I give up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That amount of time is up to you. Jonah, remember when he was in the belly of the whale? The Bible says he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. And then, finally, Jonah prayed. Okay, God, fine. I give up. Took him 3 days and three nights. David, when he cut the hem of Saul's garment, it says immediately his heart smote him. That lasted like no time at all. He was there like real quick. God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That was real quick. Other times people are in this situation for years. Some people, they spend most of their life right here. Hey, I'm going to sin. I get punished. God, why are you against me? I'm going to sin some more. God punishes them some more. And they never will get to the point where they just say, God, I'm sorry. God, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe you're over here. Things are pretty good right now. Life's good. I got peace. I've got what I need. It's all good. But when they were strong, in fact, we didn't read the verse, but in Judges chapter number 1, the Bible tells us this. It was when the children of Israel were strong, when they had the rest, when the wars were over, when they had subdued the Canaanites, when Jericho had fallen, they had taken over all the cities, and when everything was good, they had rest. And when they were strong, they said, hey, we got this. It's okay. And that's when they fell. And that's when they started serving the false gods. And that's when the punishment came. And seven times in the book of Judges, we see this cycle over and over and over and over and over again. Now look at the book of Judges and I think, why didn't you learn? I mean, seriously, you knew what just happened to your grandparents, to your great-grandparents. You knew this has happened. You've known this has happened three times, four times, five. Surely you will figure this out. I mean, duh, come on. But then I look at my life and I think, boy, why haven't you learned? You know what happens when you sin and you say, no, I'm going to do my own thing. You know punishment's going to come. You know that's going to happen. And then I've got to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And I know this is going to happen. And then the rest comes. And I want to be here at the rest. But when I'm there, it's not long before I say, hey, I can do what I want. And I'm right back here. And I think, duh, why do I keep doing this? It's how you are. A couple observations. Notice that in these passages, he's going to talk, and I did not read the last as far as how long the land had rest, but they had rest for 40 years. They had rest for 20 years. They had rest for 18 years. Now, those times of rest are a lot longer than the times of punishment. And even though they're across from each other, this time is a lot shorter than this time. In our lives, sometimes because the punishment is so quick, the time of rest is so long, again, it gets us to these senses of, oh, I can do what I want. It'll be okay. Adam and Eve in the garden, it'll be okay. It wasn't. Throughout the scripture over and over and over again, we see times that people thought that what they did would be okay, that God would just maybe look the other way. God would let it go. God can't. God can't. The sooner I get to this point, the sooner I can get back to this point. Now this process here, this whole thing about sin, this cycle, the same cycle, the same thing I've got to do is the same thing it takes for salvation. Think about it. This is where we all are born, right here. I'm born estranged from God, spiritually dead, in sin. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I am born right here. Doing my own thing. Destined for punishment. Destined for hell. That's where we are. But if I realize this, and realize that punishment's coming, because the wages of sin is death. But if I realize that God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If I realize that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I get to the point where I cry out, I get eternal rest. I get heaven. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can get that if I just understand this. So the same process that brings us to salvation is the same process many of us live throughout our lives. Now, fellas, thank you very much. You all can go have a seat. Thank you for your help this morning. So today, here's the question for you. Where are you? Where are you at on the clock? Are you at 12 o'clock? God, I'm doing my own thing. Just who do you think you are? Holy Spirit, he brings stuff to your mind. It does happens to me in services all the time. Yeah, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Sometimes I listen. Sometimes I say, that's not that big of a deal. Just a little thing. Caught myself before. You know, I'm notorious for having something on. I'm watching it and something comes on. I think, it's just that little clip. It'll be okay. Really? I get comfortable at 12 o'clock. Thinking that 3 o'clock's never going to happen. And then when 3 o'clock happens and I'm in the punishment, I think, God, why are you doing this to me? God, why is this happening? The Holy Spirit says, you know why. You know. I think, yeah, but it wasn't that big of a deal, really. I've got to get to the 6 o'clock. Now, I can stay at the 3 o'clock for a long time. Once I get to the 6 o'clock, I say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. God, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to stop. Then comes the rest. But unfortunately, in the rest, sometimes we get to this, things are going good. Remember the parable Jesus told about the tares and the wheat? They sowed all the wheat, but while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed those tares. And if we're not careful, while things are going good, while they were strong, while everything's okay, we get to this situation where we begin to sin again. We start saying, God, I will do what I want to do. I won't do what I don't want to do. And I want these things that I want, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And we succumb to the temptation. We're back here again. We're back there again. We're back there again. And unfortunately, The biggest thing that I pull away from the whole book of Judges is how much time was wasted in this book. You go through there and you add up all this time they were in servitude. Lifetimes were spent, wasted. Why? Because the people just didn't figure this out. They just kept on saying, hey, I'm going to spend as much time after I've sinned, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here. God, you can't tell me what to do, and I'm not going to get right with you. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. It happens in the school quite frequently. Kids will be arguing. Kids will do things. I'll have to come down. I'll have to talk to Brother Daniels in the office. Say, hey, you know what you did, right? Yeah. Like, all right, well, you can't throw pencils at the other kids in class. You cannot hit these other people. You need to tell them you're sorry. No. I'm not going to tell them I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'll say it, but I don't mean it. And we won't get to the point where we just say, you know what? That's how I am. And when dealing with kids, think, how foolish is this? Just say you're sorry. Just admit that you did this, and we'll get over it. Did you cheat on that test? Your answers are identical to the other answers. I mean, even the wrong answers are the exact same. No, I didn't. You wrote their name where it says name. I didn't cheat. But I think maybe you did. No, I didn't. Your teacher watched you look over and copy it down. They said they turned their test because you talked to them and you were cheating off their test. Did you cheat on this test? No, I didn't cheat. Just admit it so we can get on with life. We want to get here, but we're stuck and we're stubborn. I'm not going to. And God looks down from heaven sometimes. He says, look, just admit it. You know what you're doing is wrong. Just admit it so we can get on to the forgiveness, so we can get on to the rest. We're stubborn, we hold out, and how much time was wasted there. And I look at this and I think, what a waste. But then, before I judge them too harshly, I look at my own life. And before you judge them too harshly, look at your own life. How long do we spend in sin, in punishment, and I know I'm wrong, but I'm not going to say it. I know God's not pleased with what I'm doing, but I don't care. I just won't get to the point where I say, okay, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. We move on. We look at people and we say, why won't you just admit that you're a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? What are you holding on to? Why are you being so stubborn about this? You know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You know that he died for your sin. You know you're a sinner. Why won't you just say, no, I'm not going to admit that. I'm not going to say it. But you know it. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to. You say, how frustrating and how foolish is this? And yet, how frustrating, how foolish is it in me? This morning, in the book of Judges, over and over and over again, we see these cycles of apostasy. They sinned. God judged them. They cry out for help. God delivered them and gave them rest. And then a few short years later, start to cycle up again. And then start the cycle up again. And then start the cycle up again. And then start the cycle up over and over and over again. Think, how foolish. What a waste. What about your life? What about my life? How foolish. What a waste. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, Lord, today I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd be with me, Lord. So often I'm prone to try to excuse the things that I do. I know it's wrong. I know you wouldn't be pleased, and yet I try to justify it. I try to work it out, Lord, and it's the lies of the devil that I can do these things and not be punished. He shall not surely die. And yet we know the truth. We just don't want to admit it because we're stubborn and we're going to do things our own way. Father, please forgive me. Or if there are people in here today, Lord, and they're in that 12 o'clock time or that 3 o'clock time, they're in punishment or they're in sin and they know it. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to get to the 6 o'clock where we just say, God, we're sorry. Please help us to humble ourselves. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face. Lord, please help that to be me. Please help me to humble myself. And Lord, if we're in this time of rest, maybe we're in the 9 o'clock, maybe we're doing right. Lord, please help us not to fall asleep. Please help us to awake to righteousness. Please help us not to be lulled into a false sense of security. Please help us to realize it's when we're strong. That's when the devil's going to start this temptation. It's when we're going to get around the stuff that we shouldn't be around because we can handle it now. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be wise. Lord, if there's someone here today that they don't know you as their Savior, Lord, they understand they're sinners. They know they need a Savior, but they've just never accepted you to be their Savior. I pray, Father, that today would be the day they would get that settled. Father, I pray that you bless in this in your Son's name. Amen. If your head's bowed, your eyes closed, let's go ahead and stand to our feet.